Lord, he's got a great gifting that complements my own, and perhaps more importantly, he's a good friend, not just to me, but to many of us. And Lord, also thank you for his wisdom, and Lord, thank you for his godliness. And Lord, I just pray that you bless him as he brings your word to us this morning. And Lord, I pray that we would just be listening out to what your Holy Spirit would want to sort of flag up for each one of us as we listen to him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. As Dave said, my name is Tim Cowles, for those that don't know me. And it's great to have you with us this morning, to be together. Great to see some new faces as well. And as Dave said, we're launching our new series called Mere Hospitality, which we're looking forward to. Now, I think I just really wanted to start by saying I think it's just important for us as we explore this, what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be exploring this topic of hospitality. We're going to be looking at hospitality in the Christian life. What is that? You know, we're going to be looking at examples from the Bible as we work our way through. And we're going to be looking at some practical applications, practical examples that we can think over. And we just want to give space as well just for us to reflect on hospitality. And I think just as we start it off, it's just really important that we don't immediately default into a certain mentality as we go through this of are the elders just trying to encourage us to have more people over for Sunday lunch, or you know, have more gatherings, you know, because that, you know, that is a practical application. We're not going to deny that, but hospitality is far more than that. And I think for us, you know, there's a danger if we default to that too quickly. We can jump ahead and we can then qualify or disqualify ourselves based on our circumstances, rather than actually seeing actually what is God speaking to us about a heart of hospitality, rather than actually what can we in terms of operating out of, we can have a mentality of operating out of what we have, rather than what we can become, rather than what we can be. So we want to just encourage us as we start not to immediately default to have some of this mentality. Because as we, you know, as we look through this, our prayer is that God can increase our capacity for hospitality in its fullness, that we can catch a vision of how we can be used by God, that we can see an increase in the strength of community within this church, his church. Because, you know, as a church, we have a vision to be a community of believers who wholeheartedly love God, love one another, and do mission together. That's what we have a passion for. And so before we start, I just want to pray, and then we'll launch into this week's message. So Father, we just thank you. Lord, I thank you for all the prayers of your goodness, the prayers of just your faithfulness, of who you are, that have been shared this morning, Lord, because they've just touched me and they've inspired me and encouraged me. And Lord, I thank you that your love is evident in this place here, Lord, in your church. And Father, I pray that as we start this journey looking at hospitality, Lord, we'll catch a vision for what you want to speak to us over our lives and over the lives of us as a church here in Shepparton. Lord, one of the lines and the prayers that Rachel shared was, Lord, would your glory come? Lord, that's a scary prayer. But Lord, we ask, would your glory come over us, and that we would be used for your purposes? So Lord, please help us as we just look at this message this morning. Amen. So I want to start off bit interactive, get us a little bit limbered up. So I want to look at preferences as we kick on. So I want to understand your preferences. So I'm going to present some options. They're going to be either or, and I'll walk us through this. But I want to sort of hands up for one, then we'll go hands down, then hands up for the other one. We'll just get a sense of what are your preferences. So you ready? Here's the first one. So I want to know, do you prefer the countryside or the coast? So if you prefer the countryside, I want you to stick your hand up now, okay? And if you prefer the coast, oh, very nice, very nice. Also, this adds as a little thing that, you know, you now have to look around. You've got some things to talk about to people if you don't know. You could be like, oh, what part of the coast do you particularly like, for example, or the countryside? Do you prefer forests or mountains? Let's go the opposite way. Mountains. Hands up for mountains. You can't have both. It's called preferences, Elliot. Hands down. Hands up for forests. I like a forest bathing, but the views of a mountain, it's all great. Do you prefer watching flora or fauna? Hands up for the flora, hands up for the flowers. Flowers, so looking at flowers, looking at plant life, okay. And fauna is wildlife. I know, it sounded nicer to say flora and fauna. So hands up for wildlife, hands up for the... No, you can't, yeah, I'm saying you have to pick, that's, I know it's tough. Okay, nice, I prefer watching wildlife. Do you prefer snow or sand? And this context will be, I guess, the beach. I think Emma was saying to me, like, oh, sand, desert, who likes it? Anyway, do you prefer snow? Hands up for snow, and for sand? And both again. Okay, last one. Do you prefer lightning or rainbows? Hands up for lightning. Very nice. And rainbows? More people. So there we go. Do you know, look around. We looked around. We have preferences about how we enjoy and how we encounter this world around us. What we do, how we engage. I guess how evidence is just how our moods change depending on the seasons that we find ourselves in. And all this is affected because of the world that we live in. So we're going to be kickstarting this talk, we're going to be looking at God's creation, looking at hospitality through that. And we're mainly going to be looking at Genesis chapter 2. But I just want to remind us with some things and some facts that I found really interesting as I was just doing some preparation for this about the 7 days of creation. So on day one, we have light and darkness. God separates out the two. On day two, we have water and sky. And do you know that 1 cubic kilometer of water equals about 1 trillion liters? They estimate 1 trillion liters. And do you know that they estimate that the entire volume of water on the earth is 1,386 million cubic kilometers? That's an awful lot of water that God created. God created. On day three, he made the land and the plants. I read that they believe that Earth is one of the only planets in the solar system that has tectonic plates. Those plates that sit on top of the magma. And obviously we know the impact of some of those, especially sadly seeing in the news this week. But one thing I didn't realize was that some of the purpose of that is that it's about the carbon regeneration in the world and how actually carbon is released back into the that sediment that lands in the ocean floor gets released back to support the ecosystem. Well, we'll have to at least I'm speaking correctly then, that's helpful. Backed up by the Smithsonian. And plants, there's 78,000, they estimate 78,000 species of tree that God created. Amazing. Day four, the sun and moon is created. On day five, he creates fish and birds, and they estimate there to be about 2 million species of animal around. And specifically, a nice fun fact for you, that they estimate to be around 10 trillion ants at any one point in time on Earth. Imagine being surrounded by 10 trillion ants. How would that make you feel? And day six, we see animals and mankind created. And on day seven, we know that God rests. So we're going to look at God's heart of hospitality. And so we're going to read through Genesis chapter 2 together, starting from verse 4 until the end. And then we're going to just reflect on a couple of different things that we see from here. They should come up on the perfect. They're there already. They'll come up on the screen behind me so we can follow along. And if you don't know, it would be hopefully quite easy. Probably turn to page 2 in the Bible and you should be there. Yeah, contents. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth. And there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is Sihon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Ashur. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." And that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Elizabeth actually helpfully introed my next, the same feeling that I have, where I can often find myself feeling, is, you know, God, why did you create us? You know, God, if you are content in your completeness and your fullness of being God, why did you create us? I don't have the answer, unfortunately. If you're looking for an answer there, but I often just reflect still on that fact of just because I think he wants to know us, because I think he wants to know us. And in some ways, that simplicity makes it really hard for my mind to get around it, because I think, is there more to it, God? But I think because God wants to know us. And hospitality starts in that place. When we're starting with from this point of hospitality, it starts with a desire to know someone. It starts with a desire to understand them, to hang out, to catch up, to shoot the breeze, whatever it might be, because we want to know each other. There's acts, there's application, there's practical things that come out of that, but at the heart of it, because there's a desire, surely there's a desire to want to know someone else. And whenever we host, Emma and I, we find ourselves frantically getting our place ready. I don't know if that's how you experience when we actually host, maybe have people over. We probably live in a constant state of clutter, average clutter, I don't know. Depending on if you were to come and see it, you might say it's worse or better than that, definitely worse. So what we do is we tidy, we clean, we prepare, we get food in, we, you know, put maybe drinks in the fridge. We then think, oh, how would we add to the atmosphere? Maybe put candles on, maybe put some music in the background, because we're preparing for this time for, I guess, for hospitality, for getting to know people. We prepare in advance, and we see that here. What did God do? He prepared this entire world for our enjoyment. And he knows that as we meet here today, and as I've been really putting you in a tricky spot where you've got to decide which is your preferences around some things, where you might favor both, but I've made you pick, He knows that you will express your pleasure and your joy at different things of his creation that he has prepared in advance. That amazingly, among 8 billion individuals currently living here that have been created in his image, he takes great joy in knowing that I like to be by the coast, that I like to see the sea stretching for miles. A God of creation, a God just principally a super intelligent being that deeply cares that I like to be by the coast. That's mad. That is astonishing. And that he would know that last October, we were on holiday, we went to Yorkshire Way, we were walking around the Flamborough coast, and that he would know I would take even more joy while we were walking around, because there's a cliff tops, the sun is shining, the sea breeze is there, there is the ocean stretching for miles, and that I'd particularly like to see wildlife, so I voted for that, and there were seals on this walk. We didn't set out to see them deliberately, but they were there. That God would be like, Tim, I know that you're going to love this, and I love that you love this. And I prepared this place for you, this world for you to enjoy, and I love that you enjoy these things. That's our God. The root word for hospitality comes from a word called hospes, used to indicate like a guest or visitor, and can often be, I guess, expanded to someone who provides lodging or entertainment for a guest or visitor. And at the heart of God's hospitality is to move far beyond this feeling of just being a guest, just being a visitor, but into a place of deeper relationship, deeper partnership, sharing life together. Growing up, I'd go over to one best mate's houses, and it was his house. He didn't have multiple houses, unfortunately, he wasn't that well off, but his house. And we'd often just play football or play games, and I can't remember what we were doing, but I remember what he said to me, and I must have been just waiting for him to get me a drink, right? You know, you're a guest in someone's house, you're waiting for him to get you a drink, and I was thirsty, clearly, probably, and he didn't get me a drink, I can remember this, but I remember him getting himself a drink, and me coming back thinking, probably would have given him some smart response, right? Some witty response. But I remember he turns around to me and says to me, you're not a guest in this house anymore. And on the surface of it, and he says, you can get your own drink. And on the surface of it, that one can appear very rude at one extreme, or that can appear very endearing. Because actually what he's really saying is that, Tim, you've moved beyond just being a guest in this house. You are family. You're someone who you've moved into a different status of friend, you know, or family. You know where the kitchen is. You know how to make a drink. Hopefully you know by the age of 13 or 14. You know where the squash is. You have freedom to help yourself. You don't need permission. And in verses 19, we can see God inviting Adam into a status beyond just being a guest or a visitor. A status of ownership, of partnership, of responsibility. And he gives him empowerment to name all the animals. And this is the third responsibility that we see God gives to Adam here. Firstly, we see that he's placed in the garden to tend to it, to cultivate it. Secondly, we know that he's given instruction not to eat from a certain tree. And thirdly, we now see that he is given encouragement to name the animals. And then whatever he named them, that was that. It wasn't like, I don't know if you've ever encountered something like this. You've invited friends or family over, and you go, hey, you're a guest in our house. Why don't you pick the movie tonight? Why don't you pick the movie? And they go, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Nothing against this film, obviously. But oh, why don't we watch Love Actually? And you know, there's no response of, I don't know if you've ever encountered this sort of, what about something else? What about something else? Why don't we watch something else? Has everyone had one of those conversations about anything? Yeah, that's it. I've seen more nods. There we go. This doesn't happen. God doesn't do that to Adam. He has invited Adam into a greater stage of status of beyond just being a guest, beyond being a visitor, of being a friend. And even though we might look on it and say, hey, we could be critical maybe of some of the names, although, you know, perhaps they're not still here in terms of the names that he called them, but we could be critical, oh, that was a duff name, you know, Adam, that you decided to call this animal. God doesn't do that. You know, imagine God being like, oh, Adam, you want to call that a skunk? Fantastic. Let's call that a skunk. That's what we're going to do. You want to call that animal a wolf? Wonderful. Cow? Perfect. Let's just, these. You're doing it. You're smashing this out, Adam. There's a big cue, so let's get through this. But he's enjoying being part of that. And so what do we start to see God doing here is we start to see him building community. We start to see him building community through hospitality, through this welcome, this being part of the experience, being part of it. And do you know that you can build a community through your hospitality? That definition both includes lodging or entertainment. In terms of entertainment, here are some, typed in for some synonyms, and here were some examples that you can provide, amusement, that you can provide relaxation, that you can provide fun, that you can provide interest. You know, you can provide refreshment, restoration for people as part of your entertainment. But here's one I found interesting. That actually kind of moved me a little bit, was distraction. That your hospitality could provide distraction for someone who's struggling. I remember in 2008, a friend's mum of the church died. I was 16 at the time. He was a friend, he was in need, and there's no words that, for me, as a 16-year-old, that I felt I could bring a large sense of comfort. But I remember he said to me, would you mind coming with me to watch, I think it was Iron Man was on at the cinema at that time. Like, do you mind coming to watch Iron Man with me? And I was like, yeah, sure. That is what I can do. And for a couple of hours, my friend was able to be distracted from what was clearly a sad, sad time. And I got to be part of that just by being there. I think that's why we sort of start this off saying, do you know that our hospitality can be so much more than just limiting it to feeling of, do we host people or do we not host people? It's far more than that. You don't have to have a home to be hospitable. Jesus himself didn't. You know, foxes have dens, birds of the skies have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And yet he built community, he drew people to him, he facilitated, and he loved people. And our hospitality can be the same. It's a stirring of the heart to draw people together, to build together, to strengthen relationship. And God builds this through his hospitality that we see here in creation. And here we have Adam formed, made in his image, and he recognizes that it's not good for him to be alone. And now the introduction of Eve. We know of Adam and Eve, that they become husband and wife. There's a romantic relationship there. There's a loving relationship there. But there's also a broader picture that God is calling us to in terms of mankind about humanity, which is it's not good for us to be alone. And I think Elizabeth, just in terms of her testimony, just really shares into that. It's important for us to be part of something, to be part of community, to have a togetherness. And we start to see this in this picture. We have God, who we know walks among them, because when in chapter 3 they've eaten from that tree that they shouldn't have, they hide, and it says that they can hear him coming. Can you imagine what that sound like, to know that there's a sound going on that you know specifically is God? It's not like a skunk, it's not a bear, it's God walking through the garden specifically looking for you. How close would you need to know someone to recognize their walk? You know, Emma often says she can hear me coming up the steps, but I think that's largely to my comfort eating than anything else. But how, you know, how much would you have to know someone to hear that sound of them coming on their way specifically? I wonder what that would have sounded like to listen to God walking through the garden. Would there have been an electricity about that? But God is, they know God clearly. They have the animals. I was just musing as I was preparing this. I wonder if they can all speak. You know, the serpent speaks. I wonder in this pre the fall, could all the animals speak? Is that what the perfect sense of harmony would be? I don't know, but I wonder. Pretty amazing, right? Wouldn't it? Pretty cool. And there's Adam and Eve. And so I wonder how much stronger and close-knit can our community be as we invite each other into a status of just being, beyond just being a guest, beyond just being a visitor or an acquaintance, but one into desiring a friendship of togetherness, partnership through this life to come. Yeah, through the ups, the downs, the doubts, the rally calls, the tediousness, the exciting moments. And I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what your circumstances are. But I wonder, what could you do to grow your heart for hospitality? What could you do? What could you do this week to draw people into a place beyond just being a guest? Just start one at a time. Well, I think you can only do what you can do. But the question is, it's a think about, isn't it? It's a reflective. What can I do this week? What can I do this week to help the people in front of me? And the second thing I just want to touch on as we look at this passage is to look at, within the wonder of this creation, within the wonder of what God has done, this beautiful creation that he has made, you know, that 1,380,000,000 trillion liters of water, that, you know, huge amounts, he creates a specific garden in all of this. He creates a specific garden called Eden, where he places his mankind, this sanctuary, this special place. And in the heart of it lies a gift of a tree which brings life. And what we know is, what we can read is that they were happy, it was blissful, they were naked and unashamed. In this sanctuary they could literally bear all, there was no shame, there was no judgment, there was no issues, no problems. And it's not like that anymore. You know, we can all experience feelings of guilt, can all experience feelings of shame, of judgment. And the church is intended to be a sanctuary. Where at the church's heart lies another tree. And on that tree, a life was given so that the fruit of that tree would be everlasting life. I found it fascinating reading this passage from verse 10, that a river watered Eden. You know, it says a river watered Eden, and it split off into four headwaters that went off into all the surrounding lands. Through Eden, water that brings life supported the lands all around it. Through the source of that river coming from Eden. And the church represents the same today. Do you know that? Not the building, but the people that carry Jesus with us. Exactly. The church represents, in John 4:14, Jesus speaks to a woman at a well. If you remember the story, he talks to a Samaritan woman at a well. And he says to her, "Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." If we believe in Jesus, that's what we bring. That's what we carry around with us everywhere we go. And you know, there's another place that comes from that word, hospes. And it's similar to hospitality. It's called a hospital. A hospital. If we think about what we shared earlier, a hospital becomes a place where strangers come to be cared for and find healing. That sounds a lot like a church to me. Sounds a lot about what the church should be. We bring the presence of God. The presence of God, who is peace, patience, kindness, love, grace, acceptance, wherever we go. And especially when we gather here together. Through our hospitality, through our welcome, through our care for each other, we can contribute to this, creating a place where individuals don't feel judged, don't feel guilty, don't feel shame, not feeling good enough, but they feel safe, that they feel welcomed, that they feel they can connect, that they can belong, that they can, ourselves included, feel you can share your scars, share your wounds, your wrinkles, the wobbly bits that you wouldn't otherwise like to share. That you don't have to put a good appearance on. And we are here together, and while we are here together, we can consider being placed by God in this garden of Shepparton, this place that he has placed you, that he's encouraged and tasked us to work, a responsibility. Will you work this area? Will you cultivate this area? Our streets, our neighbors, our workplaces, will we care for them? Will you journey with people and have a hope that they for themselves will come to the realization that there is a God who deeply cares for them, that knows them as one of 8 billion, not of just another number, you know, that they would love, that he would love to know them personally, that they might experience the fullness of life and the saving grace of Jesus that we can experience. And I promise you that there is living water inside of you if you believe. And Jesus promised this to his disciples. He said to them that we would not be left as orphans, that, you know, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, would come. This world is not an ant farm of 8 billion ants, because it's 1 trillion, or 10 trillion, that's what he said. But it's not an ant farm of 8 billion humans for God to simply observe from afar. That is not who he is. He is here among us, and he actively desires to know us personally. And so he is with us. He is for us. We are not abandoned. As he has prepared this loving home for us, as he has commissioned the church as his sanctuary, wonderful song that we sung about the cornerstone, because Jesus is the cornerstone of which the church is built. That his death and resurrection, from which new life flows. And from there, do you know what we can do? We can discern the sound of the footsteps of God walking in our lives. So as he has built this world for us to enjoy, let's commit together to building here this local sanctuary into an oasis. That it would be an oasis in a troubled world that will provide rest for the weary, healing for the sick, safety to the judged and oppressed, and that we would strengthen the bonds in relationships as we love God together, love one another together, and that we do mission together. I just want to pray over this for us, and then we're going to come into a time of communion together. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your creation that we get to enjoy. We thank you that there are so many parts of it that we all take real joy and preference over. Lord, thank you that you built this for us. Thank you that you desire to know us. Lord, we pray that as we start off here today, looking at this topic of hospitality, Lord, that you would strengthen our relationships here among us. Lord, that we would know you more and more in our own lives. Lord, and we pray for this place, that this would be a place where your living water flows and it waters the surrounding areas. Lord, where from one oasis, life will flow, that it will become that place where people find rest and people find fullness and restoration and joy in you. Lord, because you are here and you are alive. So Lord, we ask, please would you come, please would you challenge us and help us to think how we can be those who long to know you more and know each other more. Amen.